A mochi moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Ameth, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
Drilling in the background, it's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the General Banter Podcast. My guest today, return guest, Chris Kent, I'm playing the intro. Nothing came up.
The General Banter Brilliant. Podcast with Colin Jettis.
He heard it. Fuck it. There we are. Headphones off.
Great.
We made it. Welcome.
Cheers, man. Yeah. It's great to be back.
Good to be back.
It's good to be back.
We're not wearing matching jumpers like last
time.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, we turned up like fucking both looking like Rocky. So you're in Belfast for Lavery's.
A couple of days at Lavery's.
Got the full squad with you.
Yeah, yeah. Family up.
How was that drive? Sometimes I think about taking our one child on a trip to like the coast that might be like 90 minutes away. And even that, I'm like, I don't know if I'm up for this.
It's not too bad, actually. And they're kind of used to travelling. I've been dragging them around with me for a good bit, you know.
Nice.
And they fall asleep a lot of the time for a good portion of the journey.
Yeah.
Which isn't too bad. To be fair, I mean, when I was a kid, if I had to drive, was in a car, with my in the back of the car, my parents from Cork to Belfast,
yeah.
I would have been a pain in the arse. Like, I would have been like, where are we? Where are we?
Yeah.
When are we going to be there? Because I remember going on my holidays down to like West Cork, and that was felt like it just took so long to get there, you know?
Is it bad that that whole area is just synonymous with murder now?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure it's gorgeous.
We go down there, and Niamh is obsessed. My wife was like, that's. Because the guy, Bailey, he has a little thing in the market down there. He sells paintings and little books. And my wife bought a painting off his ex. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
And yeah, I think I would be tempted if I was that close to the action.
This painting is up in my hall now. And it's just some chickens that she painted. And she's like, yeah, that's... the chickens there. And just, you know, I was obsessed with that podcast. Did you listen to that West Cork podcast?
I don't think I listened to the I just watched the show that they put out that was kind of off the back of the podcast.
Yeah, the podcast was better, I thought, but it was, they're down the market, he's there. He tried to get, this is true. Down in the Mariner, they had an open mic night, stand-up comics, and he wanted to get up and do a tight 10.
Yeah! When everybody's fucking life falls apart, at least you've got stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
Why does everybody fall into stand-up once their life's fucked?
You can do whatever the fuck you want and do stand-up, can't you, really?
Like, who's in there? Piven, he's doing stand-up. You know, Brendan Schaub's doing stand-up. He used to be a fighter. Yeah. You know, even that famous clip of fucking Kramer from Seinfeld when he had a meltdown.
He went crazy, on stage. Didn't he? Remember that?
You know, these guys, you're like, what? Why are you doing stand-up?
Because
all the job offers stop coming in. They're like, well, okay, there's always stand-up.
There's always stand-up. Got loads to talk about.
Your man Bailey's up there fucking...
Yeah, I don't know if he got up in the end.
Murdering in a different way.
I don't know if he got up in the end. He had to wait. That's not how comedy clubs work, Ian.
Yeah.
You can't just turn up and go, yeah, put me down for a 10 there.
I know, if he turned up at like an open mic, it would probably be...
Contact a booker.
Yeah, but like the first night it's sold out in ages or something, you know, like a quiet open mic. Come on, we'll go see this murderer.
But he was notorious for standing up and just giving off monologues and doing poetry in places and, you know.
What are your thoughts? Do you think it was him?
I don't know. I listened to that podcast and I went, it's fucking him. It's him. It's him. Episode 2, episode 3. And then I was like, all of a sudden, and I was like, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
Guards are after fucking this. I don't know. I don't know. And then you're like, it's him again. And he's definitely absolutely crazy, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was him.
Yeah.
I think it might have been him.
It's scary to think that like, well, first of all, murder documentaries are like the number one form of entertainment going at
people
the minute.
Love them.
And then they wonder why attacks keep happening.
Mm.
That's what I think, you know. You have people sitting at home watching like 3 documentaries back to back in the house. And they're like, another woman was killed and such. And you're like, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Where are they getting the idea from?
Grand Theft Auto,
yeah. That's the new
Grand Theft Auto podcasting.
Your man Bailey's flat out on the fucking Grand Theft Auto. GTA West Cork.
I don't know if he did. Yeah, I don't know.
It's scary to think, though, like if you just took a notion...
Yeah.
You could just brick someone to death.
Just snap.
And just keep walking.
Just snap.
Especially in a sort of remote place like that, you know?
People do it all the time. They snap. Mm. Just something just goes. You know, we were talking earlier about my taxes, and I can see it what happens.
They're going to use that clip. They're going to edit this podcast just when you put into the accountants, like, just fucking shot everybody. Yeah. What frustrates you the most? What would be the most likely place you would lose your mind?
Admin, like taxes and stuff, yeah, like that, being accountable for all that stuff and going, okay, I'm doing the numbers, and I get quite obsessed with it myself then. And it kind of gets to a point where it's like, oh, so you're telling me I owe you more than I even earned.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Strange. Yeah. This is really strange to me.
I work for you now.
That's... How do I live?
Yeah.
How do I owe you all that money?
Yeah. I've legit asked that question in the accountants. Like, how do I buy, you know, we're having a laugh with these accounts.
Mm.
How do I buy my actual lunch today? Because I'm scared to move or pay anything. I would say I most likely kill some. Shut up, will you?
That's your trigger there now.
Yeah, just old.
He sneezed.
No, mine would definitely be like an airport.
Yeah.
Any of that, like, when you know it's bullshit, you know, like you go to walk and they're like, oh, you need to take those trainers off. And you're like, what the fuck do you think is in
there?
No,
I don't.
What's in there? Yeah. A machete?
Yeah.
Let me fucking just walk. I hate any... I don't think I'm really like that in real life.
There's a lot of tension in an airport.
In an airport, I get touchy. Yeah.
I had Monmouth, one of my shows. Almost the whole show was based around an airport because I did nearly snap in there.
Yeah.
I really was. You're mumbling. You kind of go through a mumbling phase of.
Yeah.
I wasn't mumbling anymore.
Yeah.
I was just like, cunt. Like, I was looking at people. They were enough away from me. And he had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
Just eating a peach. Cunt.
I know.
That was late.
Oh, God. It's the fucking... You know what it is? If they had like a stormtrooper looking guy who was like in a big suit and looked like some sort of form of authority.
Yeah.
I would do it. Hands out, fucking through the machine, finger up the ass.
Mm.
But it's just some fucking weird dude. Yeah, can you stand like this and let me fucking grope you up? And I remember like just being so close to this guy, like I was squaring up to him in a UFC fight. You know, I was just like fucking riding his face, like, go ahead. Feel my underside of my tits. Go ahead. Yeah, that's right. Lose my mind. Probably.
Totally random as well. I mean, that time I nearly lost my mind. We missed a flight with my whole family. So that was the most stressful thing that's ever happened to me. Because we went all the way through. And we were there 2 hours beforehand, but it was a midterm, blah, blah, blah. We were getting moved from, we had to drop bags, so that was an extra thing. Security was an absolute joke. And it came to me, the buggy was going through the, you know, there was people in front of me taking ages, and I was like, fuck, before I missed the flight. Yeah. And then the buggy, they were like, sorry, this buggy has tested positive for explosives. I was like,
oh, yeah?
What are you talking about? And apparently it happens a lot and they have to do another little exam and they're like, it all added to me missing my flight. But then you're in the airport, you're in the departures, you're by the gate with the woman, you know? And she's like, sorry, the gate's closed. And you're like it's there. Like I can see the plane.
Yeah.
The stairs are on, everything's there. Yeah, but the gate's closed. There's no physical gate either. It's just she's like, the gate, there's no lock. There's no janitor gone off with a fucking key.
I know, I don't understand airports at all. Like, even when a flight is late, like, we had a flight, was it Austin?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ, it was like a fucking action movie.
On
the way back, but it was late because of the traffic. That was Heathrow, wasn't it? Yeah, Terminal 5. The traffic at Heathrow.
Yeah.
So it landed, and they're like, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. There's a shortage of steps. Like, there's no steps to get out of the fucking plane.
Come on.
So it's their fault that we're stuck on the plane for all this extra time.
And then you were trying to get on another flight to go
to
Austin.
Then we nearly missed the fucking Austin flight. And the guy just was like, do you remember the guy was just like, yeah, it's gate fucking, you know, like Heathrow, like 128. And he goes, you're going to have to run. And I was like, thanks, mate.
And it's just running in an airport. Yeah. You know?
Just fucking hit this old man.
You're not in your running gear either, like.
No, not at all. Two bags, jeans. Yeah.
And you're like, bags, jeans.
You don't realize how shit your belt is till you go to run. You're like, my fucking whole ass is coming out here. Oh my God, it was fucking, it's a nightmare. Like, another time me and Maureen went in Vietnam, and on the way in, they give you a little sort of visa type thing. And it's a little, it's so insignificant. It's like a little yellow, it's like a,
yes,
like a ballot ticket.
Yeah.
Like a little fucking, that's for a raffle.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, I'll keep that with our little documents or whatever. And on the way home, we just put all the stuff, you know, in this little Ziploc thing, threw it in the case.
Yeah.
And then we get to the little checkpoint and they're like, do you have the thing? And I was like, no. I was like, fuck, I don't know. Do you have it? Going through the bum bag and everything. Didn't have it. And then Maureen was like, the only place it could be is with the rest of the documents on the fucking case. And the case
in
is
the
on,
plane.
In the plane.
Yeah.
And they had to go, they actually went and got it. But like early in that process, I was like, well, if we have to stay another couple of days, that's fine.
Yeah.
We can stay another couple of days. It's not like you're stuck here in a prison for the rest of your life. Yeah, I was just like, well, I'll just fucking deal with it.
Did they let you through though?
No, they brought it back out. We opened it and fucking opened all the documents. There. And there it was, this little yellow slip. And I was like, is that fucking it? That's what was keeping us in the goddamn country.
Oh, man. It's unbelievable.
I've talked about it on here loads where police, you know, like the airport police.
The airport police.
Yeah. Who have no authority, I don't think. But those guys like pulling me over, especially in Belfast International, because they knew me from videos or something.
Just asking for a picture,
wanting
to interact.
That's when I nearly snapped one time when the guy was like, he's like, excuse me, sir. And I went over and he goes, we have we have word that there might be Barry the Blenders on the loose here in the airport.
Oh, for fuck.
And I was just like, I'm going to leave now. I was just like, bye. I hope a plane gets bombed. Bye. Yeah. Hope there's a active shooter in the background while I'm fucking sitting here chatting to you.
What the fuck?
I hate silly rules.
Yeah.
Don't like that at all.
Remember, we had to come all the way out, because when you miss your flight, then you have to go all the way back out, and it's just, no one knows what's going on. Wait by this telephone, someone will come and call you. Then you have to go back out to the airport, queue up to get your, in the, what you call it, the fucking customer information, hour and a half in this queue, trying to get on the next flight. And then your one gives me the ticket to that flight, and she's like, you're grand, you've got 2 hours now, you've loads of time. I was like, yeah, I've been here 2.5 hours before the last flight that I just missed. Then you have to go in and get your bags out of the.
Do you have kids with you at the time?
Two kids with me at the time.
Yeah, that's mental.
It was one actually. And then this is where I nearly lost it with a lady. Then we queued up and I'm like, you know, she gives me the tickets, right? She gives me a ticket for me, a ticket for Niamh, a ticket for Jack. And I'm like, what about my bags? Do I need a ticket? Because I already, no, the bags are included in that ticket, you know? And I'm like, cool, no problem. So, and then I go and queue up at the bag drop again, and now it's looking tight. It looks like I'm going to miss my second flight of the day, and I'm like fucking freaking out. And then I get and I put my bag on the belt, and your woman is just like, no emotion, there's no bag on this ticket. And I'm like, there is though.
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
Somebody told me, and she's like, there isn't a bag on the ticket, sir. I was like, I just missed the flight. I'm going to miss another one. There's a bag on the ticket. And I'm like, oh, fuck, look, I'll pay for the bag. I don't give a shit. What does it cost? I'll just pay for the bag. No, I can't do that here, sir. You need to go over there to customer information. And I'm like, I can't do that. That's an hour and a half queue. I'm telling you, there's a bag on the ticket. I swear there's a bag on the ticket. And I'm like literally about to burst. I don't know what's happening. And then I'm like, fuck it. I take the bag off. And then she says, oh, hang on. There's a bag on this ticket. And it was on the other ticket that I handed her. And I was like, God, I was about to explode. And then I put the bag on, and she is like, this is overweight, this bag. And I'm like, it's just come off the plane.
You know all about overweight bags, you fucking ugly.
I was like, but I was like, it was on the fucking plane. Like, I was like trying not to swear. There was a sticker on it. I was like, this was on the plane. It just took it off the plane, and it was underweight 5 hours ago, and it went onto your fucking plane. How is it now overweight?
Where were you flying to?
I was flying from fucking Stansted to Cork.
Oh, fuck
I was like,
me.
It's what? Like, how is it overweight now? She's like, it's overweight. And I'm like, you're like someone. Well, how does that happen? And I had to take some stuff out of the bag, put it back on. I walk away, ready to explode, going to security. And then Niamh is like, I did put some stuff in the bag after. After
I
came
bought
off.
Six bottles of champagne.
After it came off the flight, and I was like, are you joking me? Like, I was very close to.
I nearly killed a woman.
I properly was going to snap that time in the airport.
Oh,
like I
God.
Said, no mumbling, looking at people, mouthing stuff.
Oh, God. So stressful. Like,
it's a great place to snap to. You will get shot if you snap in an airport, probably.
Yeah.
If you don't kill someone else, you will.
I seen a little video with Andrew Tate, you know, he's...
Oh, yeah,
he's,
Andrew Tate,
of course you'll be gay. I was going to do a character called Andrew Tato. He was like the Irish version. Because like I kind of bald and looked
Andrew
like a fat
Tato.
Version.
That is fucking brilliant.
But I seen a thing with him, you know, hate him or love him, you know, he was getting on a flight and he just had a passport and a phone.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll just fucking get whatever I want there. I was like, that's the way to do it.
What do you mean? No, he just because he had no his own shit plane.
With him. He just fucking went and got on the flight.
Oh, and he's just like, I'll buy everything
yeah,
there.
Yeah, just went and bought a pair.
Just go to Primark and get my jocks. Yeah. Socks when I arrive.
Where's your Primark?
That's stupid. High rolling. Yeah. He's such a fucking idiot.
He is, but he's about 80% idiot, and then 20% I'm like, oh,
yeah, he gives a bit of logic, though. That's how he gets in. He says something that's very, everybody knows that that's,
yeah,
makes total sense.
I mean, he did a bit about men and women being in their prime at different times. He's like, you know, a woman's in their prime when they're like 19 or 20. That's when they're at their highest value. And then a fella needs to, you know, work things out and get his career going. And then, you know, he's in his prime at like 35. Mm. And he's like, but, you know, you don't settle down when you're a girl at 19. So why should I settle down when I'm 35, you know, at the height of my wealth and all this here shit. And then he went on to do a bit. It nearly was a bit. That's why I laughed so hard at it, about getting onto a yacht. And he was like, all she needs to do is be hot and slide into somebody's DMs. And all of a sudden you're on a yacht. And he goes, I had to buy the yacht. And I was like, I was like, that's a good bit.
You know, wow,
that's
a good bit. I had to buy the yacht.
Yeah. How'd I get on the yacht? Yeah. I had to fucking buy the yacht. Have you ever been in a yacht?
I have, actually. Have
you?
Yeah. Jesus. In Dubai a couple of years ago. It wasn't my yacht. I think I'll just clear that up for my accountant.
Yeah. Big tax.
It was not my yacht.
Big tax write-off there. Nah, I use it for work.
It was in Dubai. It was really surreal. I was like just out in a yacht. We did some gigs over there. These lads rented the yacht. We're out in the yacht.
Who was doing gigs with you? Just I picture it.
Carl Spain was on the yacht.
Oh, no one looks more out of place on a yacht than Carl Spain.
Who else was there that time? I think Barry Murphy might have been there. I can't remember exactly. It was a long time ago, but I definitely was on a yacht.
Do you know any comedians that would look the part on a yacht? Shane Todd, maybe.
He'd look the part on a yacht, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Anyone
Shane
else?
Todd. Let me think.
That you know, even, you know? I can't even think.
Can't think, no.
No, you would do. I bet you there was guys on the shore just going like,
yeah,
look at the Irish men on this boat.
Yeah.
Just fucking covered in sun cream with a big hat. Oh, Jesus.
Drinking bottles.
I'm sweating. Is that what you have to do to drink over there?
Like, yeah, float out to sea.
Really?
Well, it's not like, but there's pubs and stuff, but it was one of the things where you had to go out. But you hear some crazy stories over there. Talk to people that were, they left before the last crash, and there's a graveyard of supercars because people were just like, shit's going to go down tomorrow and I'm going to spend the rest of my life in prison. So they just flew out, like left the cars, left everything behind them. You know, crazy stuff going on.
I've heard silly stories, like someone's just driving a Lamborghini and it just runs out of petrol. You just pull over and fucking call your friend.
It's weird over there, though. There's Lamborghinis and then there's lorries full of lads that are clearly slave labour to make buildings and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's a real weird fucking place.
Yeah, weird vibes. I didn't enjoy it too much.
Were you in Dubai,
Just for like a layover, but it was like a two-day layover. We just decided to make a little trip of it. Yeah. But I didn't... Everything that you saw on the plane, like on the ad for Dubai, that's all that is available when you get there.
That's everything,
You know, there's the mall and do a bit of shopping and take a quad out in the desert.
Yeah.
You know.
That's it.
Go on a camel.
That's it.
That's literally
that's it. Yeah, that's everything I done.
Yep.
We went to Dune. Do you know the Dune bashing in the Jeeps?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a pile of shit.
Really?
Oh, my God. Well, it was brilliant, right? And after about 3 minutes, I was like, I'm going to get sick.
Yeah.
And then he kept going up and down. And I was like, fucking hell. All in the car going, I'm going to get sick.
It's only fun if you're driving.
Yeah, exactly. You're on the back of a fucking Land Rover or whatever, going up and down sand dunes and doing handbrake turns. Just merely missing other guys.
Just wrecking your neck.
Yeah,
just,
and I can't imagine it does insurance or anything like that, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
I'd say they just bury you there in the sand. You know, he never came.
Yeah.
He never came. He wasn't on the trip.
He had explosives on his buggy.
On his buggy. Yeah.
I'd love to know what the chemical compounds were in that.
I know.
For that to be picked up.
Yeah.
Is there something like baby formula or some shit?
It was in the actual buggy, like in the buggy. It was I don't know, apparently it happens.
Some sort of plastic or something?
Yeah, and they were like, no, you're grand. It's okay, actually. Because I was in such a panic as well. I was like, just leave it. And Niamh was like, you can't just leave the buggy.
Looks even worse.
They think there's explosives in it and you want to run away.
This is testing for explosives. We'll just leave it with you guys and we'll take off then, see what happens. Speaking of shitholes, you've been in Belfast for a day with the whole family. Did you do anything fun today after our numerous suggestions?
We were going to do the Titanic.
Uh-huh.
It was closed.
Imagine that.
Yeah, it's closed. We're about to get the kids to that. No, we went shopping. We went for some great breakfast first, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Pocket.
Pocket, yeah.
Pocket was nice.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Did you get tea in that little fucking metal pot?
No, I just got a, I got a coffee, actually.
You got a coffee?
No, did they give you a little teapot?
Yeah, we went for lunch with Michal from Lavery's, and he's like, I'll just have a tea. And they brought it out in this little cast iron tiny teapot.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even fucking lift that. You can get a lot of hipster breakfasts in Belfast.
Yeah, it's very hipstery. Yeah, I like that. I quite like that about breakfast. About breakfast is the best thing about hipsters, I think.
Oh, for sure.
And that's, yeah, I love the hipster vibes.
I'll put up with it if it's really good.
With their really big jumpers and their tiny hats.
Yeah.
And their books.
Yeah.
And their big jeans.
Guys smoking a pipe, making a flat white. Like this asshole.
Yeah, thanks, man. And the amount of... Like, they have these little aprons on that are way over the top, a leather apron with straps at
it's
the
like
back.
It's like a stab vest,
and they're like,
he's just making a coffee.
Where are you going? And there's loads of pockets and a twisty moustache, and you're like, what the fuck is happening here?
The most hipster thing I seen was I'll not mean name the place. They probably do this in several places. The guy made the coffee and then took out a little hoover about that size and went and hoovered around the machine.
He did not.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, just being...
What does he do with all that?
Hygienic, but you know, he probably poured
he
it back
hoovered
in.
Hoovered up all the coffee.
Yeah.
Would you like to try our Hoover coffee today?
Yeah.
What is that?
Niall used to work in a reasonably hipster spot.
Oh, yeah.
Although, I feel like, is it like the OG hipster spot established?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
At one point, yeah, definitely.
But now it's just kind of like the go-to. What's the most hipster thing you witnessed in there?
Someone asked me for rice milk one day.
Rice milk?
Rice milk.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought they were joking, so I sort of giggled.
Shut up.
Just bringing them out some rice and some milk. There you go.
I'm gonna Google what's the most obscure type. What did you get for breakfast, by the way?
Oh, I got some chorizo.
No, say no more.
Yeah.
They can't just give you a fucking sausage.
No.
Obscure. What was in it? What was it? Chorizo eggs.
Some halloumi. Bit of bread. My palate is not amazing. I'll think, you know what I mean? I don't know what you're like with eating and stuff like that, but I'll think I'm enjoying something, for instance, right?
What am I like?
But you know
eating?
What I mean? I'll think
black belt.
I'll think I'm enjoying a meal and I'm like, this is delicious. It's loads of things.
Yeah.
And I'll be eating it and Neve will like, can I have a little taste? And then she'll taste it. She's like, it's a little bit rich, isn't it? I'm like, fuck. You're right.
That's women.
My palate is just easily led.
I'm convinced.
I was enjoying that until you interrupted with your sophisticated palate.
I'm convinced women have children and there's a mental block where they can't enjoy anything anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Maureen has changed like that over the last few years. That's why you get an old lady eating a bit of cake and being like, that's too sweet. And you're like, it's fucking cake. What do you expect?
Something
happens to women.
Too much sugar in there.
You know, they do the, you know, there's a big dinner going on and the mother takes like a wee plate. Like, this'll do me. I'll just have a wee mouthful over here. Yeah. Sure, you make sure you're well fed. Anyway, GQ's list of alt milks. Almond milk.
Yeah, I've had almond milk.
We've had that.
Oat milk.
Flax milk.
Flax.
High quality plant-based protein in every serving. Have you ever had flax milk?
Nope.
What is flax? Linen? Hemp milk?
Hemp milk.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, there's a photo aid with that one. You know, that's the old joke. Okay. I didn't know almonds had tits.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How can you get almond milk?
A few nipples and the...
Quinoa milk? Soy milk? Hazelnut milk? Rice milk? There's rice milk there now.
Oh. Lovely.
See, to be honest, it's like... Cashew milk is basically all the nuts. Coconut milk, oat milk. Right, there you go. People are out of their fucking minds.
It's crazy.
I mean, like, just have a black coffee.
I remember going to the shop for my mother one time and I was like, I'm going over, what do you want? You know, bread, milk, whatever. And I was like, what kind of bread do you want? What kind of, what do you want? And my dad was like, white milk and sliced bread. It's just a simple answer, you know?
And then, that's like...
And it's like, okay, yeah. I was overcomplicating that, definitely.
I don't know, who was it used to have the bit? I think it was Aaron. Aaron had the bit about his culty friends going in the subway and they're like, what bread do you want? He's like, brown. Like,
<it's> like, yeah.
Nah, Belfast's food game has gone up a good few notches.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Very good.
There's a lot of places popping up and then everywhere you fucking look, there's a market with
just markets,
some sort of weird food going on.
Mm.
So yeah, it's fun. What do you think of Belfast? Just walking around. Have you spent much time in Belfast?
Oh, I love Belfast.
You do, yeah.
It's mainly eating, like, and yeah. I'm not sure if I like eating or I like Belfast, you know. But yeah, I'm eating when I'm here. No, it's a cool city, though. I genuinely think it's class up here. I love gigging up here. I love the shows. Love just walking around. Neve's the same, like, you know.
Where's your cool next spot. Big show?
I'm doing a show up here at the end of the year in Mandela Hall. My own show. So I'm stepping up a bit and I'm going, fuck it.
That's the new Mandela Hall.
New Mandela Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been in it yet, weirdly.
That's good. Yeah, I did a gig there a while back. It was good crack, like, you know.
The Queen's Club?
Or, yeah, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I'll always miss that old Mandela.
That was a real smelly... Like, yeah. It was like a little mini Vicar Street is what that was, yeah. I felt. You
exactly.
Know?
I think it was the best live venue in Belfast.
Yeah.
And then they flattened it.
Yeah. Why did they do that?
They just wanted a new one. I don't know, but... Weirdly, there was like some really, do you know one of those gigs you go to when you're like just starting comedy?
Yeah.
And you go in and you're like, I can't believe this happens, you know?
Is that one of the gigs you would have gone to then, is it?
I didn't go to any gigs until I started doing stand-up.
Yeah,
and,
I was saying,
and then
yeah.
I just sort of started going to all the gigs really to watch. And I remember going in, there was like, the lineup was nuts. I think it was like, was it like Foil Arms and Hot? No, it wasn't even. It was a Bandoman. That was
a Bandoman.
A Bandoman, and then like Jerry McBride and Col Murphy was emceeing, and someone else, and it was unbelievable. You know, I was just like,
I was on with them actually. A Bandoman first time, in the Queen's Mandela Hall.
Was that when they were like a two piece?
Yeah,
yeah.
It was quality. I did more than that now, eh?
Less. I think it's
really.
Just,
it was just a bando.
Man left.
Yeah. Abandoned man lived up to its name.
Yeah, abandoned. Yeah, his good friend. But yeah, there's some like just fucking real legendary gigs in there.
Yeah, it was class. I did a gig with Jason Byrne in there before it closed down. Just I did the very last one, and Jason Byrne was on in there, and it was fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
he just he just took a ladder on the stage, a big massive ladder on the stage with him, and just put it out like into the crowd, you know. He just kept extending this ladder and he climbed out the ladder and climbed across everyone and tried not to touch the floor and then put the ladder up onto the balcony and climbed up there.
He's a fucking lunatic.
What the fuck? It was brilliant.
We went this. Do you think like if you're someone like him, you've just done stand up for that long.
You just
and
get bored of it.
You're that funny a guy.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm just going to fucking. I know a lot of people talk shit, but he looks like he actually does just wing it.
Oh, he definitely wings,
Because I've seen him in Armagh Marketplace Theatre. And he came out, this is a few years ago now, come out on a wrecking ball.
All right.
To the song Wrecking Ball.
Yeah.
It swung out and he jumped off and, I'd done stand-up for quite a while at that point. So, sometimes you're able, the civilians will be like, oh, he just did crowd work. And you're like, did he, bollocks?
Yeah.
He literally was just doing crowd work all of the first half, took a break, did another like 20.
And then
about material. 20 minutes of material.
Yeah.
And then got out of there.
Yeah,
I was he just fucked about there for 60 minutes straight. Yeah.
He lives off the crowd, like.
Yeah.
Lives off them.
Fuck.
But
that.
I'd say you do. You get bored at a certain point. You could do. And then you just start doing stuff, taking up the carpet or.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, like.
Yeah.
I suffer from a big. Up. Like, I'll scrap an entire set.
Mm.
And I probably could have easily done it for another, like, 9 months.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm so fucking bored of it that I'm just like.
Yeah, once a show
it's giving
is dead,
my anxiety how many times I've repeated this now.
Yes.
Yeah. Bore me to death.
I get the same, yeah. Especially if you get into a rhythm when you get your current 20 or your current 25 club set-y kind of thing together. Mm. It takes me, I have no patience with it, I'd be similar now. It takes me, I'm just, oh fuck it, I can't be doing that anymore, you know?
You know, and it's weird though because yours seems very precise and, you know.
It can be, yeah, in places.
Because a lot of the jokes are just a little... turn of phrase
a liner hide them don't let anybody see the jokes
I let them see it. I'll let them look at the jokes first. I'll let them see it
punchline.
Yeah,
coming up,
one of the best new material sets I ever had. I had the notes,
I
just didn't, it was so fresh. I just was like, I'm doing new stuff, and I was like, shout me some things off that page. And the topics were insanity, you know what I mean. So the guy was like, Japanese sex doll, and every time she said something that got a laugh because they were so insane. And then I was like, I wonder, could that be my thing?
That's a good way to do a show, I'd say.
That's what I was
thinking. Even if you get your show done, you could have your show like that. And then,
because I have a huge, my biggest problem still to this day is just remembering things.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know what your stuff's like. You might have a bit that's maybe like a 6 or 7 minute story.
Yeah.
I might have ripped through fucking, you know, 12 to 16 topics in that space of time.
Yeah.
I don't write that much. You know, so like maybe just having someone shout me the fucking thing would be great.
That's a good idea.
That's part of the show.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think if there's even sets in that. Like I'll have a set list for like an hour long show and it's like probably like 30 just words like that. And I always forget them.
Yeah, mine would be bullet points as well. But it'd be fucking, that could be 4 minutes long. That could be two minutes long. That could be a minute long.
Yeah.
Do you do crowd work in your shows then as well? Or do you just do MCing?
No, not a lot, no.
No.
I like to sort of do a little bit of padding at the start where it's not like jumping right into material. Mm. You know, a bit of faff and then into the material. And then, but I think the way my shows have went for the last few years, the opening bits sound a bit more conversational.
Yeah.
Than like, here's a big story or something. So it launches in, it's kind of like it's like a chat show. I do the monologue.
Ease
them
into it.
The little opening monologue of like, oh, what's been going on? This is crazy. And then we sort of glide it in. But I don't spend like 20 minutes doing crowd work.
Yeah.
You know, or I'll maybe speak to somebody to like prompt a bit, you know. You married? Cool. Here's my marriage bits.
No, actually you are. No.
You into pegging? No. Anyway, here's my new bit about pegging. Do they have pegging in Cork?
I imagine they do, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I imagine so.
Yeah. Murders, pegging, you name it. So you didn't get to the Titanic thing, that's sad.
Never got to the Titanic thing. I'd done it before though. And
oh, you did?
Niamh said it was closed and I wasn't overly disappointed about that, to be quite honest about it. we did W5 last year. Do W5 again with the kids.
Yeah.
Go in there, let them jump around the place.
It is quite fun. Like
they're great places, man. These soft plays and stuff, I miss them more than anything.
Yeah, there's certain things you if you don't have children, you'll not experience them.
No. I was like, there's one in Cork now, they tag them on the way in. They put a little tag on their coat. You know the way you get a tag, you can't steal a jumper?
Yeah.
They put one of them on their coat and or their vest or something. And then that sets off alarms if they leave. So you can literally just sit down, turn your back, drink your coffee. And if you hear a siren, you figure
they
out.
Blow dart them.
Is it one of yours?
Yeah.
So it was great. It's like the peace of mind you get from that, like, you know.
Oh yeah, I've thought about that a lot recently. I was like, with Eddie, just get one of those Apple AirTags and just fucking zip it into his pocket and say nothing.
That's the way to do it,
you know. Just fucking, you know, I don't know how many horror stories you see online where you're like, can you not track these people or their phone or something?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna glue it to the center of his back.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he can't reach it or whatever.
That's what you need to do.
Just fucking find him anywhere. That's the move.
Well, like, we microchip dogs, you know what I mean, but not children. Exactly. Why not?
Yeah, and I could give a fuck about
your
dog. Like.
Yeah, kids missing.
I've been thinking about a dog a lot recently with the child, maybe.
Getting a dog?
Yeah. Oh. It's more of, it would be another responsibility that I might not be around for a lot. That's my main thought.
You need a lot of time for a dog.
But I think it would be fun if you had like a little, not some crazy dog that needs, you know, the legs walked off it for fucking four hours a day, but like maybe like a French bulldog.
French bulldog. What do they look like now again?
Like a little fat fucking,
yeah,
terrible dog probably to have. You know, they're like loud, they snore.
Mm. Have you had dogs before?
Not a big dog family.
No.
Our one nightmare with a dog was my ma years ago adopted a dog off an old lady who got a like a year old black Labrador.
And she just got sick of it, or she
couldn't handle it.
Okay.
And then it came to our house. We couldn't handle it.
Right.
And then it ended up at Maureen's parents' house. And then one day it just went absolutely missing and we think it got stolen.
The dog got stolen? Wow. That was a big thing, wasn't it? Stealing dogs for a while.
It was a murky day. Yeah, it was a good looking dog too. Right. I hope someone looked at it and went, that looks like it would be worth money if I bred loads of these.
And then they got it.
And then they got it. Or a farmer shot him, or he just got lost. I don't know. But it wasn't the type of dog would have went missing.
Yeah.
You know,
robbing dogs.
It was just around all the time. It wouldn't have just like wandered off and got lost. I think someone stole it.
Yeah, we've definitely had dogs. We've had dogs all our life in my parents' house. You know, growing up, small dogs. The attitude has changed to them. Remember when I was a kid, we had a small dog. Dog was outside. That was it. It's fucking. Yeah. It's outside all the time. Now they're inside. He's got a fucking jumper on, and you're like, what? Like, what happened? Why did the rules change so much? You know. Yeah. Now he's inside, he has a little hoodie on and it's cold. He's been there years. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on here? Our old poor dog never left inside the house. Just like, get out.
Yeah.
You know, even if he wandered onto the step.
Yeah.
Poor fucker.
Kicked like, across the garden.
Mm.
I know, I like, you know, because obviously I live in the countryside now and you see the sort of country attitude to animals. Which is like, we like animals, we like having them around, but it's just a fucking animal.
It's an animal.
You know, so it's like... The dog stuff doesn't fly at all.
Not something you carry around in your purse, like.
You know, it doesn't jump up and, like, steal food. Like, my sister has a dog, and I walked in the house, and she gave me something, like a sandwich or something. The dog just jumped up. Like, I wasn't looking. I just took it right out of my hand, and I was like, here, this would not fly in my household, let me tell you.
You wouldn't let a child
flick it up and volleyed it at the wall.
Is it a big dog or a small little
Spaniel.
Yeah.
Like one of those wee fat cocker spaniels that you get.
Mm.
They just get fat because they need to move all day. I was saying a couple of weeks ago on a podcast, just getting obsessed with watching people with gun dogs.
Gun dogs?
Yeah, like you go and shoot a duck. But the guys, I'm obsessed with it. Every time, obviously TikTok knows I'm obsessed with it and just keeps showing me these dogs. But it's so impressive when the guy's just standing there. He's got like 8 Labradors and someone shoots a duck and he's just like, go ahead, Tracy, or whatever the dog's called.
Good luck.
And the rest of them just sit there. And then one of them just goes... Cheers.
They're really obedient in that way. Jesus Christ.
I actually mentioned it in the podcast and I was like, they must kick the shit out of those dogs.
Yeah.
And then someone messaged me and they're like, no, I have hunting dogs and we just give them treats. They're very well. We treat them very well.
Just give them a little bit of heroin. A little bit of heroin every now and again. Get them really addicted.
We've got a tag in them. And if they go outside the fence, we do
little,
shit.
Little thing up his arse that electrocutes him.
We do shit.
He goes to go. It's name recognition. It's tied in with his name. It just gives him a little shock.
A little shock. Did anybody? Well, that was another thing I wanted to mention. You're full-time comedian again, aren't you?
Full-time comedian.
Last time you were here, you were 1 foot in, 1 foot out, weren't you?
1 foot in, 1 foot out, man. I was turning up the fucking gigs in my Snickers gear straight after work, doing the sound check, going, come on, like, you know, leave back up then. I need to go. I'm in work at fucking 6 o'clock in the morning, like, you know,
getting in at
all hours, getting up.
Does it feel great now to just be full-time comedy or does that come with its own stresses now?
It feels unbelievable, genuinely. Yeah. But it does come with its own stresses. Like, I have the kids during the day now. So it's like, that is patience. You need so much patience for the... Like, I have 2 hours to get stuff done. I have to be really better at my time and stuff, like, you know. But I had no hours before because I was just going to work, coming home from work, spending a few minutes with the kids, going to a gig or putting them to bed or whatever, like, you know.
Yeah.
But that was fucking killing me. Doing the two jobs.
Yeah.
It was grand when the job was flat hours and it was 39 hours a week and you're getting home at 5 o'clock every day. It was like no sweat.
Yeah.
And then the job hours started going up and then the gigs started going up at the same time. And then it was like, oh, I'm actually a walking zombie here.
Yeah.
Me and Niamh were trying to buy a house and that's the only reason I was keeping the two jobs. And we never even ended up succeeding. So we were like, what are we doing here?
I love that crack man eyes.
When are we going
to
fucking...
You have to pretend you're four people.
Yeah.
I'm four employed people.
I've got loads of money. Yeah. And they're sizing everyone else up that's looking at the house. Look at that fucker there. That's a nice car. Let's go home.
Yeah.
I was properly desperate. Like, I was starting to look at houses, like, because I would be in my electrical gear as well. And I would be trying to put people off the house that I'm looking at. I want a house.
Oh.
But I'd be, like, looking around the house. I'd look in the fuse board. I'd whisper it enough that I know other people are going to hear. And I'm like, Neve, no. This is a death trap.
That is genius.
It's a death trap, Neve.
That is fucking genius.
We need to get total rewire. It's like, you know.
Oh, that's
aluminium
such
cables. It's
that
such
is
a
such
long
a
time.
Hack.
Long time since I've seen aluminium cables. They don't even lose aluminium anymore. I'm just making shit up, you know.
You don't even have to sell it. Like, you just maybe peek inside little, something and then just go.
I have a little lamb. Because you have a little testers with you, like, you know. I have a little testers and stuff. Just go around and start sticking them in the sockets and taking notes. Fucking hell, that's. Yeah. Is this place certified? That's all you have to ask. They don't even know what that means. Is this place certified?
Yeah.
The estate agents are like,
what sort of certificate do I need?
Yeah.
The main one.
Big one. Is the adjoining house aware of the electrical issues in this house? But it never worked for me anyway. It was just people. I just got outbid by lads with tucked shirts into their trousers and belts and nice cars. And it got to a point we were getting outbid by mental money.
Yeah.
Mental money. Like 50 grand, 100 grand, like going over by that. And you're like, what is happening there?
Absolutely ludicrous.
And I was managing, you know. I was like, I was actually doing fine with the job. I was doing fine with the gigs, it was working. I was making it work. The two of them things were fine, but it was everything else in between, which is essentially my fucking life.
Yeah.
That was like ratty with the kids, bollocks, wrecked all the time.
Yeah.
And then it was Niamh that gave me the nudge. She was like, you need to give up. You need to give up the job, I think. Fuck the house. We'll get a house another time.
Yeah.
And just handed in the notice.
Fuck.
Felt good.
Unreal.
Left on good terms, though, you know?
Oh, that's good, yeah. I'm trying to think what the comedy equivalent of trying to get gigs. You walk up and see a running order for the evening and be like,
that's not going to work.
Is he certified?
Is he certified? Have you seen him?
Is he certified for a 20?
Yeah. Maybe a 5.
After what I've heard.
He didn't go down well in Dublin, what I've heard. They had to close the place down.
And that's only you trying to buy a house in Cork. I'm sure Dublin's absolutely fucking bananas.
Dublin, I think Dublin's crazy, but Cork now, the place we were trying to buy because our kids are in school, is the second most expensive place in Ireland. Houses fucking sinking, falling apart, holes in the ground. And you're like, how are you keeping a straight face here to the estate agent, you know?
Yeah.
How are you actually... And they're like, it's 380,000. And you're like, how?
Yeah.
How is that? For what? Like, places falling down, like, you know?
Gotta live in the countryside, I think.
Yeah, I probably will have to move out.
There's some of the houses around us, and some of them are new builds, and some of them have been there for a while. But you see them, and you see, you know, you're always having a nosy, like, it's, you know, for sale sign, and you have a fucking look, and you're like, But, like, for, like, this a similar house, say, in, like, Hillsborough, outside Belfast.
Yeah, just go small. You'd be like,
2 million or something. Yeah. You know, because it's in the countryside and you have to drive an extra 40 minutes.
It's weird. It's location is definitely... Because we have our kids in that school now, so that's the hardest part, you know? It's moving away from that. But we get something, but we were just like, fuck this. Yeah. Fuck this.
No.
Just to let you know, there's been an offer. And I'm like, let me get in the door. Let me get in the door and have a look at the place, man.
There's loads of people that are like buying like... properties to rent them out themselves, and they just rent everywhere.
They rent everywhere, yeah. They
don't buy their own house. Like?
There was one guy going, we've been in it. I remember one house we went to look at. It's like investor, just bid 40 over cash, and we were like, sure, we're not going to fucking compete with that. First offer, no haggling, no nothing. I just want to scare everybody away. I'm going to give you that, and you're going to take it because it'd be stupid not to, you know. They can see that these things will go up in fives and tens and.
Yeah.
And they just go, I'll come straight in with that now. Take that off me.
I remember it was on some sort of news where like somewhere in Dublin would just have the estate agent sign.
Yeah.
Where they were just brutally honest with it. Like, we're looking 100,000 euro more than this is.
Yeah.
This is up for. Grim. Me and Aaron were in Dublin and this woman, she had all suitcases with her. And she'd seen us and she's like, oh, we've seen you at fucking whatever, at your gig, wherever. Can we get a photo? And we're taking a photo. And I was like, you know, you're just kind of like, what's happening? You know, why have you on holiday or something? And she's like, oh, no, we're kind of just homeless. And
fuck.
No, they weren't on the street. They were we're literally going to view a house and everything, but we just moved out of the other one and we just like have all our shit with us and we're trying to move it and all. And I was like, oh my fucking God, what a nightmare. Give me a panic attack.
Yeah.
And I was just hearing about it.
I've been watching like The Walking Dead and stuff and I'm like, it's grim, man, but they've admin, they've no mortgages, they have got nothing. They're just like dog eat dog, fucking hell, man. They're just, I envy that part of their life, you know, there's people trying to eat them and their babies and there's...
Well, I've said this before on this podcast, like there's something a wee bit exciting about a sort of post-apocalyptic world.
Isn't there?
You know?
I mean... The Walking Dead, now, I don't know if you watched that, but I watched all of it. I should not have done that.
No, I haven't seen
it. It was a lot of time.
Yeah.
Like 20 fucking episodes a series, 11 fucking series.
Do you watch?
They drag the absolute shit out of it.
Have you seen Yellowstone?
No.
It's the only thing I've been able to talk to anyone about for the last fucking...
What's Yellowstone?
Oh, bro. Have you watched any yet now? Get your fucking life together.
What's it on?
I don't know.
Oh.
Doesn't... Nye or Disney?
I got
or
Disney, yeah.
Apple?
I don't know. Is Paramount Plus? That rings a bell.
Is it Paramount?
It's an old, we have an old chipped fucking Fire Stick, say nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But the smart thing about us is we have the chipped Fire Stick, but we do also pay for like Nye,
Netflix.
Disney. Fucking, we pay for everything, but then it's easier that it's in one place. No, it's about It's a hard sell. It doesn't sound good. It's about a ranch in Montana.
Okay.
And it's owned by Kevin Costner.
Right.
Who plays, not, it's not a documentary.
It's a reality show.
He plays like John Dutton from this like Dutton ranch.
Right.
And they're just constantly at war from like outside investors coming in to build stuff. Yeah. And the fucking Native Americans and all these other cowboys and everything. And it sounds shit. That sounds shit. Yeah. But it's fucking tremendous.
I'll give it a go.
Very stressful. Lot of, like, way too much action.
Great.
If you just actually live there, you would definitely move because it's great. Too much.
Flood your body with anxiety.
Anxiety.
Just before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's great.
Your jaw is like fucking wired shut.
And you look at the news just before you close your eyes as well.
I watch six or maybe 10 street fights on Twitter and then I go
exactly.
Right to
sleep. Exactly. That's my TikTok, man. Bare knuckle boxing and young ones showing me their arses.
Yeah.
That's all. Just one after the other.
Class. Gotta love it. Mine's just well-trained dogs, fat asses, and and that's it. Street food?
Maybe? Yeah, traveller call-outs. That's all. That's all it is.
You can't beat it. They're fucking, you know, you think these traveller fights, they'd step up the camera game a wee bit.
Yeah.
You know,
you'd invest in an old tripod. Or just get a tripod.
Yeah, they're still shooting on the old fucking Nokia Spud.
I'm telling you now.
I always want the rough voice. What gives them the voice? The real Hogan,
the voice.
Just always shouting?
I don't know.
I don't know anyway. The real gravelly, like. Yeah.
My voice is sore. Yeah, yeah, this is it.
I think it's trying to sound tough, isn't it?
Maybe
that's what it is, yeah.
I might do that in an airport. Yeah. Fucking. Speaking of tough, did you catch any of the comedians boxing?
No, but I'd love to. I'd love to watch it.
I think the stream is still live, as far as I know.
That looked epic.
Yeah. Did you get asked about that?
No. I'm not sure if I'd have been able to do it anyway, being honest. But I would, I'd love to do it sometime.
Yeah.
If there's another one.
Well, I think the next one is...
Put my hat in the ring.
Belfast versus the rest of the world.
Great
idea.
I mean,
but you have boxed.
I have boxed quite unsuccessfully.
But did you train for
I did, for yeah. From when I was 15 to about 19, 20, I had about 17 or 18 fights, lost most of them.
Mm.
But I loved it, absolutely fucking addicted to it.
You fight Shane Todd next time?
Yeah. Well, what weight is he though? I'm probably a bit heavier. I might get down a bit. He's a bit taller than me though, isn't he?
He is a bit taller, yeah, probably.
Yeah, maybe. Has he got experience in boxing before that as well?
Well, he's 1-0 right now.
Okay,
that fight.
He'd have no problem going up against me then. I've lost most of my fights. And but I remember joining boxing as a kid. The whole reason I joined it, I was 15 years of age when I joined it. And the reason I joined it was because I was a little scrawny, scraggly fucking child. And I was watching Rocky. And I was like, yeah, I'm joining boxing.
Yeah.
Never forget it, man. I was 47 kgs when I stepped on the weighing scales.
I could just get two of those.
Fucking greyhound in an underpants.
Yeah.
And I was like,
That's the new show.
This is it. I'm a man. I'm going to become a man now. Yeah. And then the trainer was like, no, we need to get you down to 45 kgs.
Nothing packs weight on like boxing.
No, but he said, we got to get you down to 45. I had to lose 2 kgs. That was the very first thing I had to do. Because I was just under the 48. I was too light for 48. He was like, get you down to 45. So I had to lose weight.
We're going to have you fight some children here. Bring you down.
But yeah, some guys got by, you know, they got a by right through to the finals. Ireland champions never fought in their lives.
What?
Just got the medal. Because they'd be too light. There's no one else in their category, like, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
So they just, like, get a bye. There's no one else in Cork that's fucking 32 kgs or whatever. There's no one else in Munster. So they're, like, Munster champion, Cork champion.
I'd be the same the other way.
Can barely hold a medal up, you know.
Like, Colm, we're struggling to find a 129 kilo fat bastard.
Would you do it? Would you do the boxing next year?
I think I would after going to that event.
Yeah.
You know,
it was good, was it?
It just looked like a
great
lot
atmosphere.
Of atmosphere. It looked great and it looked... I felt a bit like, I should have done that, you know?
Were you asked to do it?
I was, but just the way things fail, I think I was kind of like, I don't know about that.
Mm.
Not too sure. It's probably going to be me and Dave. Not that into it. And then it was kind of happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's just happening now.
Oh, shite.
But I think it would be more just the journey of it, you know? Like, actually make yourself go and train.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Do all that sort of shit and then go and have... have a bit of a scrap.
Jeez, yeah, it's over 20 years since I did it, like, you know, did boxing. I'd love to do it again. And I've always been curious ever since I left it. I remember, like, being in my mid-20s going, fuck it, I'd love to go back. And I'd go back and do a bit of training, do a bit of sparring and think I'm going to have a fight, but then, like, leave it go again, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I go back in my 30s again and go, fuck it, I'd love to go back. And in my 20s, I was telling myself I was too old, and I go back in my 30s and have a couple of spars and do a bit of training, and you go, fuck it, I should have gone back in my 20s. So I've had a bit of that back and forth all my life, so I would love to get back.
Yeah, like, is there a way to do it sort of steadily for fun?
It's a tough, if you're competing, it's a tough thing to, you need to be training and you need to be turning up and sparring every week, 2-3 times a week. And I got sent away with work, actually, with my electrical job. So that was taking me out of training for 3 or 4 weeks and putting me behind and, you know, met a girl and drink. And I was like, fuck, this is way more crack than getting smashed in the face every Wednesday night.
That was the thing. There was, you know, it was all like press conferences and having a bit of crack.
That's the crack you'd
from
have.
The outside. And then once you're there live and the bell rings, you're like, oh shit, they're fucking
The nerves go away, like, as soon as you get into the ring. The nerves, well, they always did for me, and I was always nervous before, but when you go into the ring, that's it, the nerves are gone then.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's a bit like stand-up,
but that's it. Yeah, it's a bit like stand-up. Yeah, and it's a bit, the way they did it, I think that's cool, because you don't get to experience any of that with amateur boxing.
Yeah.
It's like, center the ring, boys. And it's like just a fella trying to take your fucking head
blind
off.
Boys there.
Yeah. Center the ring, boys. And, like, you know, you're just fucking trying to flake the head off each other for a couple of rounds. And there's good sportsmanship and all that, but there's none of that. I saw little clips of their press conferences and the little kind of standoffs and the little showdowns and the slagging each other off.
I'm sure if you were like, I mean, probably the same thing is happening with, like, real boxers and real famous YouTube people.
Yeah.
Where these people are just deciding they want to have a fight night, and they're way more famous than any professional boxers.
Yeah.
And they're probably going, for fuck's sake, like, this is an arena filled with people.
It's a buzz for them.
To watch two fucking YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all happening now, isn't it? Like, Jake Paul and Tyson Fury and all that.
I know. And I think some of them boys look pretty good.
They do look good.
You know, unfortunately.
To be fair.
Because everyone's like, he's fucking YouTubers, and then he, like, knocks a few people out, and you're like, okay. Yeah. I'll take it all back. Fuck it.
I wouldn't fight him anyway.
Nah.
So you're going to do it next year, yeah?
I might, like, I think they're going to do the SSE, which they probably could have done the SSE this time.
Wow. There was that much demand for it.
The tickets sold out in no time whatsoever.
There's no bad blood or anything. It was a proper just...
Well, I thought, I was told ages ago that maybe, like, Paddy McDonald and Ronan Boyle had a bit of a thing.
Right.
Between each other, but I don't think so. I think that was just all for show. Maybe.
Did they fight? They fought each other, did they?
Yeah, they did.
And did they? Who won?
It was a draw.
Oh, right. That was the draw. Sorry, yeah, I knew that was a draw.
Clip it. Yeah, but I think they were just setting up the next one, you know?
Okay, yeah.
That was a draw. We're going to have to do it again.
So that was the headline show as well, was it?
Yeah.
That was the main event.
Yeah. But there's a bit, even the size difference there, like, Ronan Boyle's huge.
Is he way bigger than Paddy, is he? He's
fucking way bigger than me.
Is he?
Yeah, big lad, like.
My wife had a fight.
Did she?
Yeah, about 2 weeks before the wedding. Had a fucking white-collar boxing match. Yeah. Proper fucking unbelievable.
Yeah?
Yeah, ran a marathon about a week before that. She just went on this crazy fucking... but there was only one other girl in the white-collar thing that she was doing. And the girl was way taller than me. Way bigger than Neve, and it was just like the height, the size difference was absolutely ridiculous. Like, you know,
well, that's the problem when you're just throwing together matchups with like a group of people,
roughly. Yeah,
you're just
yeah.
going like, yeah, you're kind of like the same,
yeah,
you're the same gender.
Whereas 4 or 5 kgs can make a difference, like,
oh, for sure.
The power, even,
yeah,
it's a massive. Do you know what happened one time? I don't know, I've talked about this now before, but I remember fighting in Cork, right? It was Cork v Limerick, right? County kind of thing. Now, whatever the fuck happened, they called the wrong brother to the ring by accident, but they never sussed it. So there was two brothers down from Limerick. I guess, look, just say for argument's sake, one of them was fighting at 54 kgs and one of them was fighting at fucking 48 or 45, and he was 2 years younger. They called him to the ring by accident, went in with the fucking... So the guy across from him was meant to be fighting his brother, like, you know? And he got stopped within a minute.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, oh, fuck. You're not John.
Just on the toilet. Fucking ruined the paper.
He was absolutely fucked, like, you know.
Oh, but, that's not good.
He just got stopped. And, you know, I thought it was only be fair now if they left him fight the other younger fella.
Yeah.
You know, but no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen.
Oh, that's a fucking nightmare.
It was really grim. And the fact that they only spotted it afterwards.
With a bit of an embodied bag.
Yeah.
Look, that's not John, is it?
We're going to have to put you down for a loss anyway, okay? It was official. It was unfortunate, but... Because that's what some of the travellers used to do to me. They'd come in and try and... You know, if you were fighting a traveller or anything, they'd come into the room before. I remember down in Galway, or Limerick actually, when we were away, I was fighting this guy. He was a McDonough, and his older brother would come in. And he'd be like, you're Chris, yeah? And I'm like, yeah, you're fighting me. I'm trying to sort of freak you out a little bit, like, you know, this guy's like 20 and it's big fucking, yeah, that's me, yeah, that's me, I'm there. Like,
oh God. I thought you were going to say, like, they would fucking, you know,
best of luck.
You'd see the guy and then he'd walk into the toilets and, you know, his older brother would come out with a helmet on.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, it's
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Big chain, hairy tits and all. How long have we talked for now? I've got some questions. 58 minutes. Is Chris recording Christy Doesn't Live Here? And when will it be released?
Yes.
Is that why you're trying some new bits last night?
No. I have Christy Doesn't Live Here recorded.
Oh.
I actually recorded it in Cork. So that's in the can. I don't know where I'm putting it yet. It'll more than likely end up on YouTube, I'd say. So
yeah,
stick with me. And that's definitely coming out.
That's a plug. Follow him on fucking Instagram.
Instagram and all that. I'll definitely be putting that out there, yeah. Yeah,
nice.
That's recorded, finished, recorded it last April.
Very nice. What's the name of the show in Mandela?
Back at it.
Back at it.
Back at it.
Coming out in the Snickers pants, isn't
it? Yeah.
Most of these questions are disgusting.
I do.
Would you rather have coffee for a year or a blowjob whenever you want one?
Would you rather have coffee
Would
or
you rather have free coffee for a year or a blowjob, whatever? The blowjob?
Yeah.
I'll switch to tea for a year.
Yeah, coffee is... Coffee keeps me up too late anyway. A blowjob whenever you want it.
Yeah, or a flat white. I'll have a glass of water.
Depends who's giving the blowjob, I suppose.
Yeah, they didn't
That's
mention that.
That's a valid question. I want to switch to coffee again.
Oh, fuck. That's a nice wee quick. That's a nice one we'll finish on. What's your ideal morning?
My ideal morning?
Kids out the door
actually,
at 7.
Do you know what? That's it. Fucking, it's the smart. It's being off.
Yeah.
And doing exactly what I did today. Getting up on my own. Like, even though the kids are up, get them up. They can go in and watch the telly. And we can just fucking lie in bed for another while. Yeah. Get up and go out and have a bit of breakfast with them. Mm. That's the ideal morning. Ideal morning is maybe the kids not being there at all.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen very often. I lie in.
Yeah.
Being able to sleep past fucking 7 o'clock.
My ideal morning is, like, I just don't like, the hectic bit about having children is you have to get up right away.
You know,
and if you don't have an alarm on and they wake you up, you go, right, and you're up and you're just starting your day.
Mm. You like to wake up before them, so is it?
A little bit, if you know, Maureen wakes up and she'll take Eddie down. You just want to be able to get out of bed at your own pace.
Yeah.
I'll brush my teeth. I'll fucking get a shower. No. I'll get dressed. That's all you want is that little bit of time.
You can't do that anymore. When you have kids, man, that's gone.
No.
You can't even have a shit in your own
time.
No,
you're standing.
They're in there sitting next to the bowl looking down and you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Like, our life is very, you know, it is quite rural in a way. So, you know, you're dressed like shit all the time. You're wearing fucking boots, walking down a field, up in the garden, you know, all that sort of shit. So there will be days where I'm just like, I honestly don't know when the last time I washed.
Mm.
You know, was it last night? Was it yesterday morning?
Doesn't matter, does it? Like when you're,
you know what I mean?
You're out like that.
I've put on 3 coats and just walked around the field. I can't remember. Yeah.
I like that.
What am I washing for?
Mm.
Fuck all that. I followed up by several brunches, many flat whites and a blowjob. Involving Teresa. Anyway, we'll get out of here. Cheers for coming on, man.
Thanks for
having
me.
We'll drop
you
back into the centre of the action for Lavery's tonight. And yeah, cheers for coming on. Go to his show. It's called Back At It. What's the date?
6th of October.
Someone heard that.
Fair play.
Right here. Cheers. Right.
A mochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.